Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alrighty, third hour. Hour number three, Tiki and Tierney Friday, CBS Sports Radio. What's going on? Coming to you from our studio here, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Want to see if your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. All right, so the most latest twist here in the Texans saga of irresponsibility and self-destruction is this. Apparently, the Texans are receiving voice messages. People are leaving teams, voicemails, detailing what the parameters are from their side, trade-wise, for Deshaun Watson. Texans still aren't picking up the phone, but Tom Pelissero reported, or Pelissero, however, I'm not sure how you say his name. Tom Pelissero, I think. Yeah. I think that's it. It does good work. I didn't mean to butcher his name intentionally. He's a good journalist guy. He said, he tweeted, that teams are calling the Texans inspired to strike a trade. Nobody's picking up, and they're leaving a voice message. Mm-hmm. What?
I don't understand the lack of attention to this.
Wow.
Now, you can ignore the reality for as long as you want, but ultimately, Deshaun Watson has some chips in his corner. And you know, maybe they're not stacked to the ceiling, but he does have some chips in his corner, and he just recently said that he was okay sitting out games. And so it feels like this is going to get uglier and uglier and uglier. And I think the next step, and we're not there yet, but it feels like it's coming soon. Mm-hmm. The next step is that Deshaun Watson, not only privately, because he's done this already, requests a trade, he starts publicly lambasting this organization and making it be known, and maybe even saying specifically exactly why he doesn't want to be a Houston Texans.
I don't think it's going to get to that point.
I hope not.
I really don't think it's going to get there.
But BT,
I don't think he'll do that.
When he comes out and basically says, at least this is reported, he has conversations with the Houston Texans and says, yeah, I know what everybody's saying. I'm still not showing up.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to get ugly. That's frustration starting to happen.
Well, it's ugly. And your point about, you know, when frustration sets in, I guess you can't rule anything out. I got you on that. And, you know, you were out. Yes, I know you know this. But for those who may have missed it, I mentioned, you know, he sat down with Coach Culley, the new coach, a week ago last Friday. And he reiterated, you know, I'm sure he was respectful, but, you know, he said, Coach, I'm happy for you. It's been a long time. So you've been at this 65 years. You've been grinding forever. Congrats. Go get him. But I'm not your quarterback. I'm not playing. And, you know, he just reasserted what we've all known based on intimations and reports for months now that Deshaun Watson is out, that he's bouncing. Now, the angle of sitting out, you know, it's very different than even though Le'Veon Bell did it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're 25 and you're a quarterback, these guys play until they're 39, 40 at this point. So can you make some more money off of endorsements? Can you somewhat mitigate what you lose? I mean, you're not going to make the, you know, $30 million in endorsements when you're sitting out, but can you slice off a little something? Maybe. I still feel like he's – my opinion today is that, again, and I've said this for months, no matter what the Texans say, they're going to trade him. I don't think he's going to sit out, though. Like, I – at that point, and I might be wildly off base on this, Teague, yeah. But I just think the Texans –
What makes you think he's okay not you know, going to work? Why is he going to all of a sudden say, all right, I'm going to do the right thing because this team is paying me?
No, he's not. What I think is going to happen, I think at that point the Texans will have to flinch. Deshaun Watson's never taken another snap for the Texans.
Yeah.
No, he's not playing for them anymore. That's over. I don't think he'll be so boisterous and so public. I hope not. In having to drag the Texans publicly through this for motivation to trade him. I hope we don't get there. That would be bad for both sides, quite frankly, including him. But I just think when the Texans in their mind have a point and they know that they're holding on to a straw bridge right now.
Yeah.
It's going to crumble and they're going to eventually trade him. That's what I think is going
to
happen.
I mean, doesn't it feel like he's trying not to make this become this big of an issue?
Yeah.
It's almost like he's doing everything in his power to give the Texans the ability to save face. And again, we think we know what's going on with the situation with Deshaun Watson. Like, I think I know what's behind all of this. The fact that they moved out one of his best, you know, and talented players, that Bill O'Brien mismanaged, who's no longer the coach, so it doesn't even really matter to malign him, but he mismanaged the team and the situation and wasted years, words of J.J. Watt. And Deshaun Watson, who is still young but has a ton of upside still left in him, and not necessarily the Russell Wilson I need controls type of situation, but you can't like surround me with a losing situation, whether it's players, coach, etc. And it feels like that's what they've done to him, and he just doesn't trust them any longer with his career and his livelihood.
Yeah, and that's sure that's what it comes down to. You know, I mean, Deshaun Watson, and again, I'm totally on Deshaun Watson's side here because the way the Texans have handled their business publicly and privately, you know, they have not earned the benefit of the doubt here. But to be a little fair to the Texans, year two, they did win 11 games. Year three, they did win 10 games. Mm-hmm. Year three for Watson. I know this year it disintegrated, and we discussed that, and we know what J.J. Watt said when they were walking off the field. You just referenced it. We wasted a year. I understand that. But go talk to, go talk to David Carr. You know, go have a conversation with Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Talk to Josh Rosen. Like, it is, and again, I'm squarely in the side. I am in Deshaun Watson's corner. It is a little twisted just how wrong or how dirty they've done Deshaun. Like, he has not been placed in a situation that is completely poisonous. Now it might be. But the first couple of years, it was not.
No.
It was not.
No, of course it wasn't. I mean, they were winning the division, right? They had chances. I mean, heck, they were almost in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And, like, the precipitous drop until, obviously, that failed. They were in the championship game, right? And so the come-from-behind victory by the Kansas City Chiefs, which you can obviously put a lot on the Chiefs, but the follow-up to that season is, what, 4-12? That's just.
I mean, it does happen occasionally, Teague.
I know, but I mean, it doesn't.
You're not
feel
predestined to win 12 games every year.
I know, but you go from 12 wins to. What, I mean, what
I think
the
they
fall?
Were 10 the year before, 10-6 10? To 4-12.
10 and
you don't
six
think that
to
happens too often? I guarantee that happens every year in the NFL, at least every other year, minimally, it happens a lot. There are teams who sneak to 9 wins, and you know the difference. The team
but not when you were 11-5 the year before that, and. I mean, I guess they had a rough year.
Well, what did Dallas do? Dallas went 13-3 a couple of years ago. What has Dallas done since 13-3?
That's a good point.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, but do they have their franchise quarterback and a guy that you paid $100+ million? And you know what is he second on average per season? Second to only Pat Mahomes, with 30-something million, $35-39 million a year, I think it is. All right, so they've committed to him, but they're not committed to him. That's what it feels like. If you're from a Deshaun Watson standpoint, and I mean, again, we're in the age where he's not publicly putting this out there, but he could. And I think that's the next step. Like, that's what happens next. Because it doesn't seem like there's any movement, despite what the Houston Texans are trying to do, which is we're not trading him, and we're not going to even listen to people, so we're sticking our heads in the sand.
See, I don't even think that he needs to. And again, I hope he doesn't, because I hope it's resolved by then for everybody.
Yeah.
But I don't even think that he needs to do that, because the entire free world knows he ain't playing there. So, I mean, will the words really literally apply the last bit of pressure necessary?
Yeah,
like, I don't think that will be the needle tilter. I think if the Texans don't know, the Texans are dumb.
Yeah.
If they can't read this by now.
But
we're disillusioned,
but
probably.
How else do you do it then? You know what I mean? Like, how else do you
got to trade him?
Yeah, you trade them, but they're not even like they're not even looking for a solution here.
But that's why they deserve to get harpooned. That's why they're disillusioned.
Yeah.
With at the bare minimum, phone rings. Hello. This is he.
Mm-hmm.
You want to give us what? How much? 3 first rounders and who? And that guy? All right, we'll get back to you. Let me talk to my football people.
Yeah.
You got to answer the phone.
But they're not even doing that. And that's the point.
Because they're morons.
I mean,
I don't know how else to say it. I keep using the word disillusioned, but at some point, I got to cut to the core. If you don't pick up your phone when somebody's trying to engage in a trade, you're a moron.
Yeah.
Like, as a franchise, not individually, your franchise is moronic if you don't answer the phone when people are calling. And don't say, listen, if they're not answering the phone because they think that by not answering the phone, Deshaun Watson sitting there saying, man, they really don't even want to trade me. You know what? All right. Then they really are disillusioned. Then they go from moronic for not answering the phone to disillusioned for believing that not answering the phone will lead to a thawing in the relationship with Deshaun Watson. He ain't coming back.
Yeah.
He's gone. Not a single snap ever again in Houston. None.
Yeah, but how does
answer
this
the phone?
But how does this resolve itself?
Like, you answer the phone. Otherwise, it doesn't.
I agree, but they're not. So what do they do?
I just told you what I would do. Answer the phone. I don't know what else to say. I guess if you want to play a dangerous game of chicken, okay. Yeah. But you know, you might want to give whatever team, by the way, you might want to give yourself, let me take it back. You might want to give yourself, I don't know, ample time to maybe scout since you might suddenly have a 7 picks that you could cash in. I mean, you might want to do some extensive, I don't know, scouting. So the quicker you strike a deal, the quicker you could start zooming these kids and going to the campuses and doing the pro days and getting a draft board in order.
Yeah.
And saying, man, we drafted a great one. We messed up. But the only thing worse is to compound it by not answering the phone to get back a boatload of assets by trading the guy.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing right now is that the Texans, they're trying to solve this problem without addressing it. And that works.
That's a great
It just never
philosophy.
Works. Exactly. You know what I mean? It never works, and it never will work
in anything.
Exactly. So they're not addressing, you know, the elephant. It's sitting, you know, not in the room. It's on their laps, basically.
It's on their chest, really.
Exactly. And they don't want to acknowledge that it's there. And so by ignoring it, they think it's going to go away. Now, ultimately, I think that. You know, Deshaun Watson is the only one that can really move this forward. Now, we're still, you know, a month or half a month away from the start of the league year. Maybe things change when the league year, you know, happens and they're actually up and running and, you know, there really becomes an urgency because the draft is then, you know, less than a month away. But this isn't going to go away. And Deshaun Watson is the only one that can force it, you know, even more so than he already has.
Yeah, it is very, very sloppy. And I would imagine that Scott, who is in State College, PA, probably agrees with us. Scott, you're on Tiki and Tierney. How you doing, buddy? What's happening?
Good. How are you, fellas?
Okay, Scott.
Hey, man, all I got to say is he doesn't want to be there. Let him go. Wish him well, because even you keep him, you're not going to win. They it's such a messed up affair. Who wants to play in Houston?
I think Hakeem Olajuwon loved it.
Well, guys,
a lot of people do.
The problem is Houston is starting.
Greg Biggio, Jeff Bagwell. Sorry,
yeah,
Teak.
Yeah, appreciate your call, Scott.
Yeah, thanks, Scotty.
The problem is the more Houston bungles this, the more that free agents will look at it as a place that, man, I don't want to go there. And, you know, maybe if the money is right, but I mean, it's not going to be guys who want to win. At some point, like, you get defined by how you behave towards players,
yep,
in a sense. And I know owners don't want to hear that, but that's the reality of it. And you never want to get that moniker that you don't care. And it feels like Texans are at that point where people are starting to say, you just don't care. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good place to be.
Why do you think that for all these years, all these NBA luminaries spurned the Knicks?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the owner.
Yeah.
And it's...
And once that happens,
the reality
it's really hard to change it, right?
It's hard to change it, right? So, yeah. You know, the thing about the Texans and how they're perceived... they'll get, maybe not yet now because their finances are a little bit out of whack, mm-hmm, but whenever they get their finances in order, eventually, even if this sloppiness goes on, I don't mean with Deshaun, but they're a mess for, and I'm going to give Casario some credit and hopefully he can fix it. He's a smart guy. Hopefully he can fix this thing. I don't want to lump this on him. He just stepped in there, mm-hmm, but just say if this extends for another year, 2-3 years with the Texans, they get rid of Watson, they never find a quarterback, a couple of 5-11 seasons, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're going to have to overpay to get the B-minus free agent. And when you overpay to get, you know, a good but not a great free agent, then you're dead. Then it's even worse. Then you compound it.
Agreed.
So they got a lot of things that they need to realize. What they can control and what they cannot. And what they cannot control at this point is what Deshaun Watson's heart is set on. Mm-hmm. It is set on leaving. So stop trying to play hardball, stop trying to be tough, or stop trying to avoid it, or whatever you're doing. Accept it head on, pivot, and accelerate your rebuild by trading him.
Yeah.
And the only way you trade him, you got to pick up the phone. Phone rings, you got to answer it.
Or at least listen to the voicemails.
Yeah. Somebody text you, hit him back. I mean, it is, like, if I was a Texans fan, I would be, let me put it this way, if I was doing local radio in Houston right now, I would be, the Texans would send the police to have me arrested at the station. I would be destroying them because I'd be smart enough to know, like I know now, that Watson's bouncing. But you gotta stabilize something here. It is amazing. I know I'm repetitive with this, but it is amazing that they are not even answering the phone.
Yeah.
I just can't comprehend that, and no. I'm going to stop trying.
Yeah.
But I really can't comprehend that for the life of me. It's crazy. All right, Teek, let's get to the NBA. Let's get back to it. Kevin, our buddy Chris Maddox, my buddy Kevin Maddox. Chris Maddox is going to join us coming up next here, do a little NBA stuff. Utah, all right, AD's injury, possible trades. What's up with Brad Stevens? All that and more coming up. Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Teek and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. You know, Teek, last week, D-Cell made me feel really bad. You know, Lent is underway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Friday.
What are you giving up this time?
Candy, always.
No, always.
That's my way of getting in shape. I give up candy, and then I go bonkers on Easter morning, whatever the Easter Bunny brings. But on Friday night, you know, for Catholics, those who observe, you're not supposed to have meat. And I honestly forgot last Friday, and I ordered, as we always do, customary in the household here. We order pizza, and I like to get a hero. So I had a chicken cutlet Parmesan hero. Today, I remember, because D-Cell, he made me feel a little guilty, shrimp Parmesan hero waiting for me. As soon as we get off the air, your boy's making a beeline to a monster shrimp Parmesan hero with extra cheese.
Nice, love
and
it.
And I cannot wait to dive into it. Let's dive back into the NBA team. Chris Maddox covers the league. He's been doing it for a long time. Senior NBA writer for SI. What up, Chris? How you been, buddy? It's been a little bit. How you doing?
What's going on, guys?
We are good. A lot of things we want to hit, but let's start with this. In light of what Kyrie said about the logo with Kobe and just general thoughts on the logo, this is not the first time it's come up. We've all seen some other mock drawings, you know, whether it's the Jumpman or some others. And we know that monetarily it wouldn't behoove the NBA to do it because they're not paying royalties because they never officially admitted that it's Jerry West. Mm-hmm. But behind the scenes, I know you're piped in and connected. Behind the scenes, anytime the logo, the direction of the logo comes up, what is the NBA's reaction like off the record? Do they get nervous? Do they consider it? What are they thinking, do you think, based on what Kyrie just said?
No, they don't get nervous, and I don't get the sense, and haven't had the sense in the handful of times over the years where the discussion has been raised about the logo, that they're going to seriously consider changing. As you noted, they've never actually acknowledged it is Jerry West, even though it is Jerry West. I mean, mm-hmm. it's pretty obvious, and Jerry has come out and basically said it as much. They seem pretty satisfied with, you know, the way things are. And Kyrie's words obviously carry some weight because of his status in the NBA. Whenever you mention Kobe, it's going to be a big deal. But, you know, in the couple of people I've talked to in the last 24 hours, it doesn't seem to be much of – there doesn't seem to be any support for it. I think the NBA is going to continue to do something with Kobe during All-Star Weekend every single year, whether it is permanently naming that All-Star Award after him or not, the MVP Award. I think that's certainly a possibility. But as far as changing the logo permanently to Kobe, it's just – first of all, I don't think they'll do it anyway. And second, you have to remember, Kobe's a complicated figure.
Yep.
You know, he's got a lot of, you know, he's got a past, what happened in Colorado, and right. I just don't think you can do it if you're the NBA. I don't think they do it anyway, but I don't think they do it.
Chris, I said the same thing, and I hated that I had to bring that to the table, but, you know, that is a part of his past, and that's a big piece of the puzzle. It is. It has to be.
Yeah, for that reason alone, I think, you know, Kobe becomes a non-starter for the unofficial face of the league.
Yeah.
But, again, you know, if you came to them with, I mean, look, Michael Jordan couldn't get it done. Michael Jordan became the best player of his generation.
Yeah.
Best player of all time, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, Chris, just real quick, just to close this out, is this a Kyrie Irving thing, or is this a wider held belief by a lot of guys in the NBA?
Good question.
It's not unique to Kyrie, but I don't think there's, you know, a movement afoot with this. I mean, Kyrie was as close to Kobe as almost any player. I mean, they were very, very close. I mean, Kyrie took the passing of Kobe extremely difficult. I mean, mm-hmm. as hard as I witnessed any player in the league ultimately take. Couldn't even talk about it for a while. Even now, he was asked about it before the passing, and it was tough for him to talk about. So I understand his feelings for him. I just don't think it's going to go anywhere, nor do I think there's, hundreds of players, you know, demanding this to happen.
Okay. Talking to Chris Mattix, senior NBA writer, SI. I know you've always been very piped in on the Celtics here. You know, Brad Stevens, it's getting ugly, and it's that floor. I don't know what Danny Ainge is really thinking, but I know what I'm seeing, and that's, you know, Kemba, who's shooting 30-whatever percent. Great game aside, couple of games back. The Celtics are underachieving. They're a mess. What is up with the Boston Celtics here, Chris?
Yeah, look, the obvious are the struggles of Kemba Walker and the absence of Marcus Smart. Those are two things that you could point to right off the bat. But, you know, the problems are deeper rooted. In the last 2 years, they have lost two former All-Stars. Mm-hmm. They lost Al Horford, who was the linchpin to what they did defensively. And they lost Gordon Hayward, who, despite the fact that he never reached that Utah level while he was in Boston, was still giving you, like, between 14 and 18 points every night, facilitating, making three-point shots, and they replaced them with nothing. Hmm. Like, you don't win when you replace that with nothing. Now, they've been able to get away with it and did last year because of the organic growth of Jason Tatum and this year Jaylen Brown, but eventually you run into a wall when your talent doesn't match up with the teams around you, and they got lucky with Peyton Pritchard. They drafted it. He's been able to play, but, you know, Romeo Langford's been MIA basically since he was drafted. He was a lottery pick 2 years ago. Aaron Nesmith isn't ready, and they haven't filled out the end of that bench with more than Grant Williams and Semi Ojeleye, guys like that. I mean, it's not hard to find. I mean, it's you know, Danny Ainge has taken some of the blame on himself, and I think, frankly, he should, because he, you know, didn't upgrade this roster after Hayward left, and, you know, relied on internal improvements, and they haven't come. I don't believe, guys, that Brad Stevens is in any trouble, nor should he be. I mean, Brad Stevens has been to the conference finals 3 of the last 4 years. I'm sorry. The guy is an excellent coach, and if he's let go tomorrow, he becomes the hottest coaching candidate in basketball. So he certainly has to be held accountable for some things, but his job is not in jeopardy.
You know, earlier in the show, Chris, we were talking about the two leaders in the respective conferences, the Philadelphia 76ers, who we know built their team via the process, we'll call it that. But they got two stars out of it in the draft, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And it's kind of refreshing that it's not like a packaged super team that was controlled by players. Obviously, they got some good players, Tobias Harris and others have come over. But Utah is the same way in the West. Their two biggest stars were drafted. And we were talking about how refreshing it is that it's not, you know, the two teams that are at this point seem like they're headed towards the NBA finals, or at least certainly the conference finals. It's a different model than what we've seen in the past. You know, how good can this Jazz roster be? And more importantly, I think it's neat that it's not, you know, LeBron bringing his boys and coming to win championships.
Yeah. I mean, it's first and foremost a testament to the acumen of the front office. I mean, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell were drafted,
yep.
But and they weren't even drafted high. I mean, Rudy Gobert, I think, was 27 the year he was picked, and Mitchell was, what, 13 when he was picked. So these were not home run type of franchise players.
Yep.
They were just identified by that front office and groomed by a terrific coach in Quinn Snyder. And over the last year, you know, they've been able to add the right pieces around them. It was Bojan Bogdanovic and Mike Conley last year. And, look, people kind of pointed to – you know, them and then fizzling out in the bubble in the first round, that's a little bit misleading. I mean, they got beat in the first round in seven games on a shot that Mike Conley missed that would have pushed them past the Jazz. And they did it with Conley still trying to feel his way out and Bogdanovic out. That's a 20-point-per-game score. So they've got all the pieces. Now, where they've hit this year is the fact that Mike Conley is back to being all-star version of Mike Conley. That's number one.
Yeah.
And number two, like, Jordan Clarkson finally found the situation that works. Like, he finally found a place that just wants him to come off the bench and gun. And that's what the Jazz want him to do. And he's been really effective. I think the runaway leader right now for sixth man of the year. So you're going to have to see what this team can do in the playoffs without a proven isolation guy. Like, the Nets have got three of them. The Lakers have got one. Even the Clippers might have two. You have to see if Mitchell can do it and be that guy before you're sold on them. But right now, they look like the most complete team in the NBA.
So we're talking to Chris Mannix, senior NBA writer for SI, reporter for DAZN as well, and Chris with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We all know, you know, what went down with KD a couple of years ago. You know, my Achilles, boom. And we know AD's calf is an issue now, and we hope that AD's, you know, future athletic fate is not the same as Durant a couple of years when it rolled up like a lampshade in the playoffs there. You know, there's got to be some not only internal fear from the Lakers, but from Davis and his camp. Like, he cannot be, especially since he has a championship now, he cannot be in any sort of rush to get back on the court whatsoever, right?
No, and my understanding from talking to people in L.A. is that, you know, it's basically the response, I guess, don't put a timeline on it because we don't really care. Like, he's going to sit out as long as he has to sit out, and when he's ready, we'll be good to go. The biggest question with LA in the interim, though, is, you know, are they going to be able to stand up to LeBron and say, you can't play 40 minutes a night? Like, I know you want to, and you feel like you can, and you feel like you're indefatigable, and you want to be the MVP, but you've got to get LeBron's minutes down, even if that means you're like the sixth seed to start the postseason. I mean, how many times, guys, have we watched LeBron's Cavaliers team sleepwalk through the regular season and then turn it on and be good to go, get back to the finals in the playoffs? This Laker team is the same way, and home court advantage has never been more meaningless. Well, maybe in the bubble it was meaningless, but home court advantage this year has never been more meaningless. So, you know, if you're the Lakers, whatever for the next two or three weeks. You win some games, you lose a lot more, big deal. As long as you get into the playoffs with AD healthy and LeBron not completely gassed out, you are as good or better than anybody in the NBA. So I would say, like, definitively, the Lakers are not going to push Davis to come back no matter how bad things get on the court. Okay. I don't know, though, if they're going to be able to keep LeBron from kind of forcing his way onto it.
Yeah. Chris, what did you make of the noise with KP and the Mavericks a couple days ago? I know the Cuban came out and refuted that. Anything real there or no?
I haven't heard it. You know, I know there are teams that have some interest in him, but the teams that I've talked to said they have not talked to the Mavericks about him. It just, you know, look, any trade rumor can potentially be true because all it takes is one executive talk to another executive, even in the most roundabout ways, and you have a rumor. Like, I've covered a lot of that over the years, but I would say I do not believe the Mavericks are substantively looking to deal Porzingis. It's been disappointing this year. They clearly need to add a rebounder next to Porzingis. That's why Andre Drummond is very high on their wish list if he gets bought out. But as far as Porzingis goes, I mean, they're playing the long game with two great international talents.
Hey, Chris, on that in that same vein, you know, 30 seconds on this because we're up against the clock here a little bit. It sounds like the 76ers might be taking a run at Kyle Lowry. Is that what are you hearing about that? Because that sounds interesting from Philly's standpoint.
It is interesting, and the Clippers would like to get their hands on him too. The problem is he makes like $30 million. So acquiring him is almost impossible unless you've got your team, and I don't see how Philadelphia gets there, not with their core being so big for them.
All right, look at him. He's about 7-8 seconds to spare. Right. Chris Mannix, SI, DAZN. Have a great weekend, Chris. Appreciate it, buddy. Good to have you back on the show.
You got it, guys.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, let's get an update for Mac. We'll come back, hammer out the blast, and boot every one of you into the weekend, including ourselves. Axe update is right now. All right, going to get to the blast. And then we're going to blast you into the weekend. Let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question about quarterbacks. Jerry's in Green Bay. Here's what he writes. All right, between all the big-name quarterbacks that have been unhappy, seemingly, like Rodgers, recently Rodgers, Wilson, Dak, and Watson, who would make the biggest impact with a new team?
I think that's still Aaron Rodgers. I mean, without a doubt, he's still elite, just won the MVP. And he comes with a wealth of experience and, I don't know, like football IQ that if he injects somewhere else, lifts that team. I think Dak is still learning that. We had a conversation about Wilson, who I don't know. I don't even know where to put him right now, in a sense. And I think Deshaun Watson is too young. So I'd say Aaron Rodgers.
All right. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, where your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people are at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I would disagree a little bit, only because we saw Rodgers in year one with LaFleur's system.
Yeah.
And it was somewhat pedestrian, certainly by his standards, pedestrian. And then we saw Rodgers in year two go bonkers. And I feel like, again, the question's framed if it was on a different team. And again, Rodgers isn't going anywhere.
No.
But if Rodgers went to a new team because he's a little diminished athletically versus what he used to be a couple of years back, I actually think that Watson or Wilson would have the bigger impact on a new team because they all have to learn the new system. That's a given. But who's still in their absolute athletic prime, or in Watson's case, just entering? I would disagree a bit with that answer. Who knows? Probably not going to come to fruition, but a good question. Appreciate it, Jer, out there in Green Bay. All right, Teek, you ready for a little blast? See what we got?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Rams head coach Sean McVay met the media Thursday. Seems pretty confident running back Cam Akers and what he can do for the squad moving forward.
I think he can come alive in the pass game. I think he can continue to play at a high level, really. I think he's an every down back. I think he's a special player. And I think that's a real credit to Cam.
All right, so are we confident Cam Akers can become an elite every down back?
I mean, I don't even know what elite every down back is in the NFL anymore. You know, he's got the size. He's 215 or so. He's 5'10". Basically, like look like I did when I was in my playing days. And he's dynamic and doesn't get hit hard very often. Can he? Yeah, of course he can. The question is, are the Rams going to use him that way? I think they learned the lesson with Todd Gurley by overusing him, and it ultimately led to some injuries. Even though Todd he came in with that.
Yeah.
And he only had 145 carries in his rookie season, Cam Akers. I like him going forward. The question is, for how long? And I always put that number at 4 or 5 years. He can be viable for them.
I think he's a superstar. I think he's one of the next superstars that's ready to just go absolutely insane next season. I love Cam Akers. I loved him on my fantasy draft when I took him early. And, you know, when you make a pick in the fantasy rounds and you hear, like, half the guys go, that was on Zoom this year, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
You hear the collective groan because they were targeting that guy. I didn't get rewarded because he was hurt out of the chute. But then when he came back and he was Cam Akers, what I thought he would be, I think Cam Akers is getting, like, next year at this time, Cam Akers will be
in a conversation where, you know, whether it's the red zone, whether it's fantasy, whether it's offensive, not league MVP, I'm not going there, but, you know, offensive performer. I think Cam Akers is going to be a superstar. I really do. All right, last night on TNT, after Philly blew out Dallas, Charles Barkley wanted to make it clear how good he thinks Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons really are.
They're not Shaq and Kobe, but they're Shaq and Kobe-like. They're going to be a serious problem for anybody they play against.
Shaq, would you allow that statement to be
said? No, I didn't say that.
I'm just asking you a question, Shaq. Will you allow him to say that they are Shaq and Kobe-like?
Shaq and
he says they're more like Charles and KJ-like.
I'm saying... Joel Embiid got more talent, and he's more of a problem than me.
Okay. Did Chuck go too far? By the way, the visual there was funny. He was like kind of sipping on the tea.
Yeah.
That's what he didn't even say anything, Shaq, basically. He's like, please, don't waste my time with that nonsense. But I don't really know that it is nonsense. Did Chuck go too far? No, I think it's good. I think anytime you could draw some sort of an analogy, especially with somebody who's sitting with you on the panel to respond to, which, of course, Shaq did not. But you got to love his cut man, his PR guy trying to instigate. Shaq, you going to let him get away with that? That's why that show was so good. Then they were playing a game. I think the name was like, what's his name? But then Kenny said they should call it, you know, what did your mama name you? They asked Shaq five names of players you got to know.
Yeah, what's his first name?
Oh, for five.
Yeah.
He didn't know any of them. None of them, including, I mean, he didn't know any of them.
That's funny.
But did Chuck go too far? No, I thought it was pretty poignant stuff, and I don't disagree with it.
I think too far means is Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, are they really comparable to Shaq and Kobe? And the answer is no. That is a little bit too far.
That's why he said Shaq and Kobe light.
Yeah, but, I mean, Ben Simmons is not nearly going to be the impact offensive player. Defensive, maybe. He's not nearly going to be the offensive player that Kobe was and the dominant offensive player that Kobe was.
You
know, Embiid, I think he can be, I mean, if he plays for 10, 15 years, whatever it may be, and he's MVP a couple of times, hey, he's going to rival what Shaq accomplished, especially if they win some championships. But I don't think Ben Simmons can compare to Kobe, even in a light fashion.
Yeah, but I think where Charles made the mistake, it's not that it was like, yeah, well, I guess at the end it is a stretch offensively for sure, but
yeah.
The skill sets are so dramatically different between Ben Simmons and Kobe. It seems like an odd fit, but I think
from an impact standpoint.
From an impact standpoint, and when you throw, as long as you throw the word light in there,
yeah.
I don't have an issue with it.
By the way, here are those names, BT. The first
I know
name.
One was Mitchell Robinson from the Knicks.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
That was your last one.
What was the first? What is the first name? One was Monk from the Hornets.
Malik Monk.
And Mitchell from the Knicks.
Mitchell Robinson.
and then Quigley, also from the
Emmanuel
Knicks.
Quigley, sure. Exactly. He got all of them wrong.
He got them all wrong.
Come on.
Those are the three he couldn't get. I mean, he got some of the other ones.
No, he went 0-for-5. I watched the segment on Twitter. He went 0-for-5, and he was coming up with hysterical names, too. I mean, it was that show's great. All right, the Kings got a $140 hung on them by my Knicks last night. Attaboy, Knicks. The Knicks now have lost, pardon me, the Kings have now lost 9 straight. And according to StatMuse, Sacramento has the worst defensive rating in NBA history.
Ugh. Ugh. History.
Attaboy, Luke.
That's a lot.
Way to get him to buy in, Coach Walton.
Yeah, he's done.
They've held their opponent under 100 points only once this season. And in fairness, not many teams do. I mean, that 100 is like what 85 used to be, or 90.
Yeah.
Is the blame more on the players or Luke Walton as a coach?
I mean, it's both, obviously. But, I mean, when you're giving up 140 points and, you know, you're worst in the history, that's an effort thing. I got to put this on the players. And at some point, you just got to have some pride and lock down and sacrifice a little bit. But they clearly have tuned him out. He's on the list of those that are heavily on the hot seat as the NBA starts to look at coaching changes. So
yeah.
I'm going to say players.
Yeah, I mean, so you say the blame's more on the players than Luke?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Got it. Because
it's an effort. When it's historically bad,
yeah,
that's an effort thing, man.
Yeah, I mean... But I also think, yeah, I mean, I'm not looking to spare Luke Walton here.
Yeah.
But I'd have to look at
you know.
I mean, you're looking at some really good players that when they were in college.
But just because they were great players in college doesn't mean they were playing defense in college.
Okay, but they were good athletes. I'm talking about athletic. And most of them are young. I mean, Buddy Hield, surprisingly, is old, even though it doesn't feel like he's been in the league that long. He's 28 years old.
Yeah, he's
the
same age. He does is shoot.
He's the same age as Harrison Barnes. That's not my point, though. My point is that everybody else is young. De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton.
Not Wendell Carter. Why am I forgetting?
Marvin Bagley is there
Bagley,
as well.
Bagley.
Go ahead.
I'm saying, blame all around. The coach is not getting the job done. The players aren't putting out the effort. But at some point, you got to draft some guys with some defensive acumen. I'm not so sure that they did. So a lot of blame to go around. That's all I'm saying. Wizards won 6 of 7. All right, including a nail-biting win over the Nuggets last night. Now the Wizards are 12-18. They sit two back of the 10th spot. Remember, the 10th seed in the East, both conferences will now qualify for that little play-in deal. So how should the Wizards approach the trade deadline? That's a very interesting question. I still think that if they are able to rid themselves of Russell Westbrook's contract, even though Russ has been balling, a lot of triple-doubles during this run.
So sellers.
Yes, because if they sell, it would absolutely enable them to keep Bradley Beal, who they might be able to keep anyway, but it's fool's gold. They're going nowhere this year.
Yeah.
So if you can shave some money and get some assets, you're miles from being really relevant recent play.
Look, they're mostly really young. I mean, there's a couple of old heads on this squad, Russell Westbrook being one, Robin Lopez being another, but a lot of this team is really, really young, other than Bradley Beal, who's at that, you know, kind of ideal age to build around, in a sense. So I agree with you, BT. Get some assets and reset for future years of hopefully turnaround basketball.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
How did you see this? We didn't have a chance to get to it. So I guess Bryce Harper heaped some praise on the NL East. What did he say? He said it's the best division in baseball? The NL East?
I think this is the best division in baseball. I don't think that's even a question. Five teams in this division that are really good. Really good pitching, really good young pitching, good bullpens, good lineups. So I think this is going to be a juggernaut of a division.
Impossible to refute that statement.
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta's
impossible.
There. We saw what Miami and your guy did last year.
Donnie
Mattingly, surprisingly, you know, made the wild card. Philly, we know where they should be. Mets, obviously, because new ownership and new money injection, energy in that squad. Washington's the one.
Not
team.
To mention Lindor.
Yeah, yeah. Washington's the one team you don't really know.
Yes. They lost Rendon a couple of years back, but they still have some players. The thing is, there's no doormat. Like, every other division, no disrespect, but like the Orioles or like the Rockies, I'm jumping divisions.
Mm-hmm.
Every division has like a really bad team that you kind of fatten up on.
Yeah.
The Nats aren't quite with the other teams, but they're not going to be a 65, 68 win team. The Pirates are bad.
Scherzer's still on the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Teague, have a great weekend, buddy.
You too, brother.
Everybody enjoy it. Be safe. Sensible Sam. We'll catch you Monday. Have a great weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.